If you're tired of one-sided conversations and mean-spirited rhetoric, it's time to listen and engage. This is The Rational Revolution, a look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. Now here's your host, Chris Elfheim.
Hello, my friends. Did you notice the change in the intro? I know I did. I'm missing my friend already. Emily Cephos, can you hear me, my friend?
I can, yes. Hello.
So let's just have a moment here. Welcome to The Rational Revolution, normally with Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos, but we have to sadly but happily talk about a change that's coming up. Emily, tell me why your name is no longer in the lead-in while I dab my tears.
Yeah. As you know, it's always been sort of problematic for me to be purple because I do have my own biases. I am a Democrat through and through, and I am actually running for state assembly.
Shocker. Wait, you're a Democrat?
In case you missed that.
What are you running for? Tell us.
I am running for state assembly in District 56, so like the Appleton, Greenville, Grand Chute area, which is like next November, but I'm coming up with quite the campaign plan, and so we're going to hit the ground running with about 1 year to win and see if we can flip that district from red to blue.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm so happy for you.
I'm very, very
sad for us here at the radio. Todd and I have been, you know, tears in our beers. Was that on the beers or the sadness that you're going?
Sadness.
That was
the
sadness. Yes, it is sad. But we really are happy for you. This has been great having you on board, and it's a shame to lose you, but we know that you're out there trying to do some good things and cause some good things in the world, and so we support you on that 100%.
Hey, thanks so much, and it's really been a pleasure having those kind of conversations with differing perspectives, and I look forward to doing that. I learned a lot, and so I look forward to doing that during the campaign as well.
That's awesome.
So I appreciate the premise, and I'll continue that on the road.
I love that. You can do anything you choose to if you put your mind to it, and great success to you as you do it. So we will let you go, but again, we'll be crying our way to
My God. Well, I'm very excited to listen in, and thank you for all that you're doing, Chris. Really appreciate it. Todd, thanks as well, even with the buzzers and all.
The buzzers and the dingers.
I know you'll miss me. I know you'll miss me.
You know we will. You will. All right, friend. We'll let you sign off, thank you so much.
Sounds good.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, have a good show.
You too. All right. Well, that's a little sad, but the good news is anytime we have something change, we get something new out of it. And so with me today is our guest host, Mr. Tony Palmieri. Say hello, Tony.
Hello, Kristen. Thank you so much for having me here.
Good Lord. You hear the bass in that voice. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you guys are a very unique couple when it comes to radio voices. Let me just say that.
Is there a duet that we want to do later?
Islands in the Stream.
Okay. All right. So we have with us Tony Palmieri. Tony, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where you come from? What are you doing? And why in the world do you want to join us on the Rational Revolution tonight?
Well, first of all, I have to tell everyone I am a huge Chris Elfheim fan.
Oh, that'll get you points.
And I met Chris when she was running for the state Senate back in 2022. And she is a very gifted communicator. And I really appreciated every time you spoke, you emphasized that we need to learn how to listen to each other, how to be more solution oriented, how to take some of the nastiness and negativity out of our interactions. And that resonated with me.
I love that.
Because I am a professor of communication studies at UW Oshkosh, been doing that for, get ready for this, 34 years. So yeah, it's been a long time.
Okay,
and
doing the math.
Yeah. And I always try to get my students to buy into what I refer to as political friendship, which is exactly what you stand for, Chris.
Absolutely.
The idea that we ought to sit down, talk things out, figure out where we stand, agree to disagree. We don't have to hate each other.
Right.
There doesn't have to be any bitterness. And I am the husband of someone that you know, that's Lori Palmieri, who is in the state assembly from the 54th district in Oshkosh. In fact, she should probably talk to Emily and give her some pointers as to how to stress yourself out running for the state assembly.
Learn the ropes right away.
So that's what I'm all about. And I love the title of your show, The Rational Revolution. And I don't know, I think I can hopefully add some insights. I am originally from Brooklyn, New York City, so I'm a big city guy.
I love that you're from Brooklyn. I did not know that until we started the show. Yeah. And tonight, our guest that's on this evening is Pam Yonke, who's going to be talking about ag and kind of rural Wisconsin. And you could have no better rational conversation than have the guy from New York City on talking about this. Because, again, we don't know. We don't, you know, people that live in the country, grew up on a farm, don't necessarily understand what is going on in the city, and city people don't understand the country. And so this is a valid conversation, and you're a perfect person to have it with us. So that's exciting. So before we get into our guest, she's here in the studio. We're super excited to have her. But let's just talk a little bit. And we are coming up on, well, there's a couple things we could talk about. I'll let you play with it. We could talk about the debate last night. That was fun. I'm just going to mention curtains and leave it at that. Curtains. Or we could talk about the looming shutdown, which we're going to lead into a little bit later with Pam as well. But there's a lot of nonsense going on. A lot of nonsense. What's your take on things?
You know, the looming shutdown is very disturbing because real people's lives are going to be hurt. It's not a joke. And I was very interested. Do you remember Paul Ryan, the former speaker of the House of Representatives, Republican from the Janesville area? And, you know, he came out the other day and he was highly critical of people in his own party who he said don't seem really to be interested in governing. Right? Like, who benefits from a government shutdown?
Yeah. You know, I think that we all forget, I shouldn't say we all, but perhaps those that are in the positions forget that the number one job they have is to take care of the people that they serve. And I'm not sure, how does this help anybody? It really is a tragic thing. In fact, to me, there are people that are rooting for chaos.
Yep.
And we don't tend to mention Voldemort by name, but there are people that root for chaos because chaos riles up a bunch of people. Why? Why would we want to do something that is going to, and we know what it causes. We know the economic output. We know the stock market, just so that the other team can wave the flag and say, see, told you they're bad for you.
And the thing is, Chris, everybody agrees that the federal budget is out of control. Now, and it's been that way for many, many decades. Now, you would think that rational people of good faith can sit down together and figure out how we can save some money here, save some money there, and so on. What I object to, and I know you do also, is this bullying tactic.
Yeah.
Either give us what we want, or we will shut this whole damn thing down.
Yeah,
we're going through that in the UW right now, where we've got members of the legislature who are fiercely opposed to even a discussion of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they're saying to the UW, you either get rid of all your DEI programming or we're taking $32 million out of your budget.
You know, the saddest part of that conversation to me is that the GOP side of things wants nothing but more people and more workforce.
Yeah.
And yet the entire point of the DEI, I think people tend to think it's immediately a rainbow brigade type thing.
Yeah.
No, it's about helping everyone find their way to success in the workforce.
Yeah.
It's a workforce issue.
Exactly. And I think rational, reasonable people of goodwill, good faith actors can agree that, there's differences in thinking about DEI. So let's sit down and hash out our differences.
Yeah.
But the idea that I'm going to come in and say, either get rid of it or lose your budget, I don't care who's doing that, whether they have a D after their name or an R after their name. That is not a way to govern.
Yeah.
That's bullying. And, you know, that's a terrible example. I deal with a lot of first-year and second-year students at UW-Oshkosh. And so often I can't find good real world examples to give them of when leaders sat down and made a good faith effort to work things out.
Yeah. And all these things are tied together, but I think the concept of, again, the accountability.
Yeah, exactly.
We expect that the people are in Madison and DC accomplish something. And the way that we are right now, and you can talk about lines, you can talk about all kinds of stuff, but the reality is they're just trying to be accountable to the funders behind them.
Exactly.
And that has to stop. And it doesn't matter what side you come from. If too much money is coming in from behind you, then the assumption is you're going to get them what they want. We have to stop that. we have to stop and just get back down to where are we? Where are we trying to go? What do we agree on? And can we at least take a step forward together in that pattern?
Yeah.
This idea, and I really don't like when things are pushed so far to an edge that all that causes is a whiplash on the way back. Exactly. And it just is maddening. And I think we're seeing it. We're looking at one side that's in the danger of losing their mega advantage, that's swinging hard for the fences right now on everything they can get done just to make the other side recoil, and they're going to go the opposite way. I don't want that. I don't want a recoil effect. You know, somewhere in the middle, bouncing back and forth by a few degrees is where we belong, because we can move forward together that way. The far left, the far right, if we stay on the edges, the opposite side is just going to lean away and we can't get anything done. Our job is to do what's right for the people without beating up on those of us that are paying for it.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
You just got to figure out how to move forward with that mindset.
Yeah, I agree. And it does seem like the majority of people are tired of game playing and gamesmanship. But those people need to stand up also, correct? I mean, the people that are tired of the games, it's time for them to get up and vote.
Yeah.
It's time for them to make their voices heard. I'm so thankful that you are providing a forum to allow people to speak out. That's great. We need more of that.
Yeah, and I think we're trying to get, again, Rational Revolution, our job here, what we're trying to do is show topics from different sides. So we've had Reed Ribble on, a former congressman. We've had Dean Rash on locally. We've got Tommy Thompson coming up in the future. Great. We're trying to bring in voices and just have some civilized dialogue, because we really do have far more in common than most people think. And we got to get back to that. I think that people have entrenched themselves on one side or the other, and the assumption is everybody else is a bad guy. Yeah. Just knock it off. We have got to just knock it off and call crap where it is. Sorry, that wasn't a swear word, was it? Nope, he shook in his head. But we just have to get back to it. So yeah. We've got about 1 minute before we head into break, but I'm very excited to be bringing on Pam Yonke. We're going to talk about, I am a farm girl. If you are born and raised on a farm, you are never not a farm girl. Yeah. Doesn't matter where you live. So I'm excited to have this conversation. I'm very excited to have Tony here with us, another perspective from the big city, which I enjoy. But all we can do is have a conversation, listen, share, try and add to what we think, and create a little rational revolution of our own. We're going to head into break. When you come on back, we're going to have Pam Yonke. Thanks for hanging in with us, Rational Revolution, 97.9, the talk of Green Bay, 98.3, Oshkosh Air. Get that app and text us, 920-264-0606. See you later. Welcome back to the three of you that aren't listening or watching the Packer game. We understand there was just an interception by the Packers. Go, Pack, go. Todd, our favorite engineer on the buttons, is texting us updates.
Somebody's actually texting you that information. So
that's awesome. So thank you to all of you that are listening. We're very excited today. We have our special guest tonight is Pam Yonke with the Midwest Farm Report. A couple things about Pam. One, she's literally in the Hall of Fame. In the Hall of Fame for dealing with broadcast and the ag industry in the Midwest, which is a big deal. This is a passion of hers. She's a farm girl born and raised. To this day, I believe you are still on a functioning farm.
Correct.
That's awesome. So let's just, you know, I'm a farm girl. So let's just talk farm girl for a second. Sorry, Tony.
No, that's good. I'm here to learn.
All right. If you could tell the audience one thing about the difference between growing up rural Wisconsin on a farm versus anything else, what would you say?
I think the appreciation. If you've grown up on the farm, if you've been involved in agriculture, even arm's length, you have an appreciation for the people that are still farming. You have an appreciation for that big farm equipment that slows other people down going to the office.
Yeah.
You have an appreciation for when people show up at sporting events, when people show up at church, show up at the weddings, because you know what they had to do to get things done at the farm to get there.
Yeah.
So appreciation of the life skills that are going on in rural Wisconsin. And the other thing is not making a judgment based on your windshield. I have a real problem with people that drive past a farm and because the barn looks big, then they start, oh, that's a corporate farm.
Mm.
And they forget that 99% of farms in Wisconsin are family owned.
Yeah.
So those larger farms that you want to pass judgment on may in fact be two brothers and their families
yep.
with sons, daughters, all involved making that farm operate.
Yeah.
And that's, I spend a lot of my time trying to remind people, don't make decisions based on what you see from the road.
Yeah.
You don't know who all's involved in that farm.
Absolutely.
And the multi-generations, they're all working together still on that farm.
Yeah. I mean, I love growing up on a farm. You're always given the freedom to get yourself into trouble, and then you have to figure out the solution to get yourself back out. And that is a skill that you absolutely learn on the big land. I have friends of mine out in the Pulaski area. Again, mega, it's a big operation, but it's a family operation.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the dad and the mom that have kind of passed on, they're no longer involved. But the son, his wife, their two children.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing about that family is that these kids are up doing chores, showing cattle,
yep.
and being involved in the business of cattle, as well as being students and in marching band and in choir.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a beautiful thing mm-hmm. to learn those skills, not just to be able to do things, but to understand that work comes first and there is time for everything, but the management time skills that they have learned, it's a great thing. I enjoy that family so much.
Well, and like you said, the phrase I use is common sense isn't so common anymore.
Mm-mm.
But if you grow up as a farm kid, you're given responsibilities and you are supposed to think your way through.
Yep.
And I was telling these folks, I just came from, I have a house up here and we were having a tailgate party and a group of college kids were over there. And I was teasing them that they must have come from kind of a rural background or a working class background because of the way they conducted themselves,
yep.
because of the, you know,
yep.
can we pitch in? Can we help? That kind of thing.
Right.
It's just, like I said, I notice a lot of that. But then again, I'm immersed in this.
Right.
I mean, this is all I do. This is all I talk about.
Yeah.
I'm blessed that way. So,
now, I love it. I spoke to Tony early and I told him I thought I was very, very lucky to have been born and raised on a small beef farm mm-hmm. in central Wisconsin, all the freedoms and what I learned. And then I moved out and had the opportunity to live on Lake Dubay for about 5 years, almost 10 years. Then I moved into a suburban cul-de-sac here in Green Bay for 10 years, and now I live downtown Appleton.
Mm-hmm.
And the value and the ability to realize the good that comes in every one of those situations
yeah.
is a
yeah.
beautiful thing. It creates a respect. And if you've never, ever understood or had the opportunity to grow up in the country and live the rural life, you're missing out and you can't quite have that empathy. You know, Tony, if you ask me what I thought about living in downtown or in Manhattan or any place in New York, I would kind of freak out a little bit. That doesn't necessarily sound a lot of fun to me and it seems like it's something not right. You know, what are your thoughts on living on a farm prior to this conversation?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, haven't been there for quite a while now, but I remember now growing up, you know, we go to a grocery store and you see fruits and vegetable and milk and you never think.
Where does it really come from?
Where's it come from? And
right.
and who did the work mm-hmm. so that this could be here? And I think a lot of city people are not raised to ask that question. But Pam mentioned the hard work of the farm culture, but you know, I experienced that growing up in the urban area too.
Sure.
I mean, my mom and my dad, rest in peace, were the two hardest working people I ever knew. My dad was a shoemaker
mm-hmm.
for many years, and my mom raised my two brothers and I, and then she worked for McDonald's for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And hard work ethic. In mm-hmm. fact, they would have gotten along great with you two. Just because, you know, I think in both the urban and the rural areas, the majority of people do share a lot of values.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure. Blue
right?
collar is blue collar.
Yeah, blue and that's, collar is blue yeah. collar.
I mean,
right?
my dad wasn't milking cows, he was working at Fort Howard.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so he full-time farmer, full-time at Fort Howard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Respect for hard work, respect for family,
mm-hmm.
right? Common sense, you mentioned before. And I think that's whether people are urban or rural, that's where the majority feel. But I think where Chris and I agree we get upset is that why doesn't our political system respond to the majority? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. To me, it's interesting. We've got about 1 minute before we get into break. But I think it's interesting how sometimes it feels like urban and rural are in opposite aspects. And I don't understand that. Again, as somebody that's come from both sides, we all have a lot in common. And that's really what we'll be talking about.
It's a numbers game.
Absolutely. All right, we are heading into a break. I'm very excited to have Pam on the way back. We're going to talk about the shutdown and a few other things dealing with rural America. As a reminder, you can text us 920-264-0606. The Civic Media app, 98.3, the talk of Green Bay. Come on back. You know you want a revolution. You want a rational one, and that is what we are here to do, talking about different issues and how they might affect us, whether we understand them or not. Let's learn a little bit. Tonight we are so excited to have one. We have guest host Tony Palmieri, straight out of, I don't know why I can't remember where in New York.
Brooklyn, New York.
Via Oshkosh.
Yes.
And we have the fabulous Hall of Fame, world famous, fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke here with us. By the way, just as a little sneak peek, rumor has it that Pam, you are going to be broadcasting live here on the Civic Media very soon on weekdays at 5 a.m. You are joining the family.
Yes, correct. I'm happy. We're still working some technical issues through, but 5 a.m. And it'll be real time, you know, every weekday.
I love that.
Anything that, and you know, to your point, Chris, one of the reasons why I'm so grateful to have this kind of a show to be able to talk to people is my life has been a farm kid in agriculture, but recognizing I broadcast out of Madison, that's the head base, so to speak. When you're in Madison and you're a farm kid and you're a farm broadcaster, your goal is to try to bridge the gap. So this is exactly kind of what you guys are doing too.
Yeah.
So we are kindred spirits.
Amen to that.
Excellent.
So let's talk a little bit about issues. I know that, Tony, you spent some time on the city council down in, or the common council down in Oshkosh.
I did.
I am still on in Appleton. And very often we hear this subject about zoning. And as we sprawl, right, as this land gets bought up by developers and we start building more cul-de-sacs, there's more and more conversations about the tractors on the road, the smell of this and that. So, you know, try and help, Pam, help everybody understand where we're at, and let's kind of create some empathy here and there.
Well, you know, the first thing is just taking a look at the pure and simple facts. Last year, I think the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture said we lost more than 22,000 acres of farmland, and it was to that very sprawl. And farmers are still trying to do what they love and bring their family in as that encroachment comes in around them. And to your point, farmers and people in agribusiness are very busy. You know, it's just like everybody. You're very busy. And sometimes, as you pointed out before the break, Tony, we aren't necessarily doing a real good job of explaining what we're doing that relates to your life.
Right.
Where did that food come from? Why are you doing explaining? So I think Wisconsin agriculture has been working very hard to convey the message of here's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Right.
And explaining conservation methods. Why are these tractors on the road? Why are they so big? It's kind of that same scale thing we were talking about before the break about people making a judgment about a mega farm from the road, but they don't know anything about that farm or the family that's running it. So really it is just about the dialogue and explaining to people why we're doing what we're doing in agriculture. And to your point, when somebody comes to you and says, hey, I've got a graduation coming up this weekend, do you think that you might not spread manure behind the house that day? Most in agriculture would say that's reasonable. We will curtail. So a lot of it is, and here's the other thing, don't jump on social media and start tearing down your neighbor.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because your neighbors may not know anything about social media.
Right.
They're far too busy. Maybe their kids are somewhere, but don't start the conversation without engaging in the people that you're either targeting or are involved in the solution.
Yeah.
And like I said, there most farms that I know, most farms that are still involved in agriculture today, production agriculture, are very open conversations. But talk to me, don't decide and then force me.
Yeah.
Make me a part of the conversation. I think that's a solution.
Absolutely. And I think this is where the empathy comes in. You know, these are families that are just trying to make a living.
They were there first.
They were there first. Yeah. And if you've never been the one driving that tractor on the road, currently,
it's scary.
I mean, I have a stepson who was involved in cash crops all summer long. I mean, he was literally behind the wheel of one of these monster tractors, and they're maxed out at about 42 miles an hour, and they are going from north to south in the night after 16-hour days. These guys and gals are out there working, really working. And think of safety. If it was your child, brother, mother, you know, would you be the one trying to scream around them at 80 miles an hour?
Well,
you just got to look at things differently and take a breath. I love what you said in terms of communication. You know, reach out as a friend first, because there's a respect there as opposed to the griping on social media and complaining. Create a conversation, because I've never met a farmer that wasn't humble.
Mm-mm.
Never one. Mm-mm. Because you are nothing but a humble, hardworking person. I've yet to meet one.
Mother
otherwise.
Nature will make you humble.
Yes. Just a reminder that you have no control whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the shutdown. I want to have you help our listener understand how that affects the ag community and how that trickles down.
Sure. Now, first of all, remember, if the federal government goes dark, that includes the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Now, when you think U.S. Department of Agriculture, you say, oh, that must be the farmers. Yeah. It is, because that means we lose a lot of face-to-face contact with our partners at the Farm Service Agency office, our county agencies there, Natural Resource Conservation Service. That all goes away. It also means that for those farms that might be in the process of getting a loan through the federal government, USDA, that process stops.
Mm.
The good news is, for consumers listening, is the food inspection side of things does not stop. Anything relative to that type of thing does not stop. But USDA is the number one responsible person for women, infants, and children, all of the food assistance programs, and all of a sudden that can come to a halt.
Yeah.
Unless it's like border, unless those people decide they're going to essentially work for nothing.
Wow.
So there's a lot on the line for food security, for agriculture to continue to move forward, crop insurance, risk management plans, all of that kind of thing. And now I talked to a dairy broker about that this morning, and he said, they've asked and asked and asked for details, and they said, right now we're in a gray area, because we've kind of kicked the can down the road so many times, we've not lived in a full shutdown in recent memory. So that's how it affects agriculture. But like I said, those food, women, infants, children, food stamps, EBTs, a lot of those kinds of things, we're in a gray area. We don't know who's going to implement that, who's going to execute that. Even if it's electronic, somebody's still got to get there and do the work. So that's where I become very much vocal about, don't just think if USDA goes dark, that impacts the farmers. Yeah, it will, but it'll impact you.
It impacts everybody. I don't know who in this world thinks that a shutdown is good for us. I just don't, because people do not realize, and as much as people want to complain about the size of government, and we can have a conversation about thinning it and making it more efficient and reducing overlap, I think that that's a valid conversation, but you don't shut down the systems that we are not even aware of that are holding us up as a society.
And on top of that, Chris, and I ask Pam, not only is the shutdown going to be a big problem if it happens, but there's also supposed to be a farm bill passed by the end of this year,
that's
right?
That is due literally tomorrow, the 30th. Our deadline is the 30th.
And that's not going to happen.
No. We knew, but agriculture's used to this. Let's face it, when you're less than 2% of the population, it's tough to get a groundswell of emotion to get it done. So we already know that. And they believe that there will be there's already policy work coming through that we hope will at least get a look by the end of the year. But to your point, nothing in Washington, D.C. happens on the calendar.
Well, what does the farm bill do for the Wisconsin farmer? A lot of our listeners don't know that.
Right. Well, and it's complicated, and I can't forecast what it's necessarily going to do this time around. But generally, we know that it's going to be a budget freeze. So you are asked to continue to do more with less, which I think that there's a lot of farmers that say, that's fine. Give me the open market, or let me be able to do for myself. I don't want to, you know, lean on the government teeth, so to speak. But there are critical programs that need to continue to be funded by most farmers' opinions. Resource conservation, water, renewable fuels, renewable energies. They're working very closely right now on a biofuel for jets that could be not only good for the environment, but imagine the premiums that farmers might see for the crops that they're growing now.
Yeah.
So all of that's in play right now under existing programs. So if we can keep that infrastructure moving forward in the facsimile of the next farm bill, I think there's a lot of conversations going on trying to find that middle ground. But, and you guys know better than I. So here we go. We don't get it done September 30th. Yeah. Now we're talking about a government shutdown. That's going to take time. Then, bing, here all of a sudden we're into a new calendar year. And who's going to want to start at the podium in an election year?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, agriculture's getting caught.
Yeah.
And we're trying to run an enterprise that's based on some of the most difficult elements. Weather, number one, can't control it. Markets, can't control it. Labor, hardly control that.
Right.
Animals, we don't control them. So all of those kinds of things lead to another element that Chris and I had talked about, your mental health.
Yes.
I'm trying to run this enterprise. My kids are involved in this enterprise. I've got my grandkids that are out here with us now. And that weighs on me to think about what our commodity price is going to look like if I don't know what the infrastructure we're all working with.
Absolutely.
In my real life, I play with, distribution, mm-hmm. retirement distribution. And the concept is you've got to understand, what's coming in the future. And the fear of running out, the fear of not having something will stop you in your tracks. So creating a plan that creates a consistency of income. In the farming world, you could have 1 year where everything is up and great, and the next year it could be horrible. It is a tremendous stress when you have a business that you can't control the dynamic of. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about mental illness, because it's an issue everywhere.
Oh, correct.
I think that's fair to talk
Absolutely.
About. But let's talk about in the rural community. Well, what have you been
seeing? We don't talk about it. It has been probably one of the beaming lights of where we need to go in conversations. I grew up in this, so I do understand the dynamics at play here. I really do. When I was doing stories during the pandemic about food distribution, food pantries, things like that, I knew that there were farm families that needed those resources, but they didn't want their car seen near a food pantry.
See.
The pride.
There were mental health, churches were holding mental health conversations, but I don't want to be seen there. One of my groups had this meeting coming up, and I said, can I come? And they said, Pam, if you come, nobody will walk in the room because they don't want you to see them there.
Oh.
And so I know that dynamic. That's my family. So I get it, but I also recognize now that with social media, that turned into a valuable tool for a lot of farmers, young farmers, mature farmers, and just connecting. When you couldn't go to church, farm families find a lot of solace in going to church, high school sports, getting together and playing cards. Well, now all of a sudden I can't see anybody.
Yeah.
Even the milkman can't come close to me by company guidelines. Mm-hmm. So it was very frustrating. And then they did turn to social media as kind of a anonymous way of trying to get some interaction. So that was one caveat. And then I think our State Department of Agriculture did a wonderful job. They've always had resources, but they really amped it up. They really fanned out in a lot of different ways. Toll-free numbers, mental health vouchers, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, somebody's going to answer the phone. Because that's the other thing. So many people were giving advice on, call this, do this. Had you ever called that number? Did you ever try that service yourself before you recommend it?
Wow, good point.
And what I found is, here I'm giving out a toll-free number, but it's only open during business hours.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
And
that's not how it works.
So that's why, I appreciate people's good hearts and saying, here, do this, do that. But if you haven't tried it to know if they're going to be there, I'd really step back a little bit on, because most farms, you said I start at 2 a.m. Why do I start at 2 a.m? Because I got to try to get ahead of them.
Yeah.
And they're out there.
Yeah.
And if it's harvest season, they're going 24/7.
Yep.
They may catch a couple hour nap, but then they got to keep going because it might rain.
That's
right. Weather could turn against you. So, like I said, I'm glad that we got more comfortable with talking about it. It's still very difficult, but we've done a better job pivoting resources that make people more comfortable, that help them to have the conversation.
You mentioned young farmers. Are there enough young farmers coming up through the system? I read somewhere the average age of farmers in Wisconsin is 58 years old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're aging. None of us get any younger.
Right. So what happens when we don't have enough young people that are getting into agriculture? Is that an issue right now?
Well, a couple things. I think most business owners would say that's an issue for us too.
Yeah.
But what we're doing, the hard part is the generation that's aging towards retirement holds an awful lot of equity.
Mm-hmm.
They are the cash cows because that farm is their retirement.
Yes.
Right.
And now son wants to get in, but boy, how am I going to retire? How much are you going to pay me? How are you going to get the loan? How are you going to take this over? Our farms are worth millions of dollars.
Yep.
And trying to find equity or credit for that to make that transition is challenging. And then you've got the emotional side of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's tricky. Uh-huh. But to your point, we do have a wealth of young people that are interested in agriculture if they can find the financial backing to get going.
There you go.
And then the other thing is we've got to let go. And the new programs that we're looking at are mentors. I'm an agent.
I'm going to bust into this tune one of these times when you lead me in with it. I'm telling you, once it happens once, you're going to have to do it every show, so you better watch
this
yourself.
This is not karaoke,
you
Chris.
Better
I'm
watch
just telling
yourself.
You right now.
Welcome back to Rational Revolution here with my friends Pam Yonke and Tony Palmieri. We are talking farming here in Wisconsin, and I want to bridge in a conversation you mentioned a little bit earlier, Pam, on the environment, on water. I'll start out by saying I have yet to meet any farmer who did not drink the same water as everyone else. I have never met a farmer who did not want the resources that they rely on to be healthy and there for generations to come. Why is it that there seems to be this headbutt that's going on in this conversation?
Oh, because it's about science. It's about science versus what I choose to believe or I've been led to believe. So this area, Northeast Wisconsin, where I grew up, is really where all of this started with the karst soils up here. And to your point, I have talked to almost every farmer in Kewaunee County, you know, surrounding counties. They know exactly where karst soils are on their farm. Exactly.
Can you explain for the crowd what you just said?
Karst soils would be, it's a very porous soil that allows nutrients. So if you spread manure on it, it allows those nutrients to go through that soil profile very quickly and ultimately could end up in groundwater. Every farmer I've talked to in the impacted areas knows exactly where that soil type is on their farm, and they stay away from it. They can prove to you on paper they stay away from it. And then people say, well, but look at my water. Look at my water. You know, the unfortunate part, research was done by the Discovery Farm, which is a UW Extension-based program that started decades ago, and it's based in taking research, you know, the stuff you read, and putting it into practical application on the farm, field testing it, literally.
Yeah.
What they found out is, yeah, okay, so if there's leachate coming from a neighboring field or something like that, that's got to be mitigated. But, you know, here's the other part, and this hits very close to me. A lot of those rural farmhouses you see out there, tile drainage. Mm-hmm. They don't have a mound. Mm. They have, you know, basically goes through the soil profile away from the house. And they are shocked that that could be human and not just bovine.
Yeah.
And then they say, okay, but the natural thing is, I'm a little old lady. I don't have money to put a mound system in. There's no money to help me put that mound system in. If I don't fight this, you're going to condemn my home.
Mm.
And that happened to my mother.
Really?
In Oconee County. And that's our home farm.
Yeah.
And we don't have any reason to believe the water isn't fantastic, but it wasn't up to code per se. So they threatened that. So my 89-year-old mother had to come up with money to put a mound system on the home farm.
Well,
anybody that's ever done that. But fortunately, she's got kids, three kids that are committed to that farm and everything that we can do for it. But imagine you're a little old lady and everybody around you is starting to talk about this and they start pointing the fingers at all of those older homes that we relish in rural communities.
Right.
You got to have a conversation about what's the solution, not just accusations that that's the problem.
Yeah.
And so the farmers up, when farmers find out there's an issue in their neighborhood, they are the first to start wanting to respond.
Yeah.
You know, they may go short and deliver water just to, you know, make you feel we are with you in this.
Right.
You said you were from Lake DuBois?
Wausau area.
Yeah. And one of the Central Sands,
yep.
One of the hotbeds for what's going on through the sandy soils. Well, those farmers are now inviting people that live on the lake to come to the farm, take a look at my cover crop, take a look at my conservation practices,
right.
Walk the fields with me so you understand why we're doing this. And then they spend their money on research to find out why is that water level going down. The Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers spent more than $2 million to find out about the Little Plover River.
Hmm.
Their money, farmer yeah. monies.
Yeah.
And it's all about continuing that conversation, but basing it on science,
yeah.
not social media supposes
yep.
and that type of thing. And mm-hmm. keeping part of the conversation. Don't be afraid to go to that field day and find out what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the farmers, you know, they're happy to come and listen to what you're worried about, but just saying that you're worried doesn't help us get yeah. to an actual answer.
Yeah, I think that, again, what we try and do on the show is try and maybe create a little bit of empathy and, you know, stop with the good guy, bad guy mentality.
Right.
And it's true. I think that my friends that, you know, living downtown, the assumption is that everybody in the rural America just doesn't care. They just want to have their own land, and they want to have their gun, and they want to have their trucks, and that's not true.
Mm-mm.
And the people in the rural areas, they got to give a little break to those in the city also. You know, your vision is usually what you know. And if you know rural America, then that's your comfort zone and everything else is weird. And if you're a city person, then everything else is weird. Stop it. We have got to start realizing that life takes place in different dynamics and we share a lot more in common. We all want clean water. We mm-hmm. all want yeah. clean air. We all need food to eat. We all need to take care of our families and support those. We all need good education. Mm-hmm. We all need health care. We all need mental health care. There's so many things that we share that to me it's very sad when, again, you have this rural versus urban thing going on. And, you know, a lot of times we hear, and we're running out of time, but we hear oftentimes the topic of rural America doesn't want decision-making coming out of Madison, Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that we have to share is that without the Madisons and the Milwaukees and the Appletons and the Oshkoshes, none of our counties and cities would be okay. We rely on one another.
Mm-hmm.
The city people rely on the rural communities to do what they do best, and the rural communities to rely on these cities to be destinations, to bring people in, to bring tax revenue. We must get along.
Mm-hmm.
And if we didn't have the other, we would not be happy. We would not make it. So we rely on one another. And if we treated each other with a little bit of empathy and respect, we could perhaps start having some conversations and moving together in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Any last words you want to share, Pam? I'm going to give you, we got 1 minute for you. What do you want the people that are listening to this station to know about rural Wisconsin, that just what would make it everything better?
Sure. Well, first, I'm grateful that I'll be able to share some of this empathy. And if you didn't know kind of approach to Wisconsin agriculture, when I joined the Civic Media crew, Mondays cool. through Fridays, starting 5 a.m. I also welcome you to follow me, Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, Fab Farm Babe on Instagram, Twitter, etc. MidwestFarmReport.com is our website. That helps you connect to how I mm-hmm. try to provide the bridge information from farming to consumers and back and forth. And then, like you said, extend the olive branch. If you've never stretched yourself.
Right.
To try to say, hi, farmer neighbor.
Right.
Hi.
Yeah.
You know, you might be shocked
yep.
at how that turns into one of the best relationships of your life.
Absolutely.
And farmers vice versa.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, if you're a young family, take your kids out to a farmer. Let them sit on the tractor. You know, ask the farmer, because I've never met a farmer that didn't want to let a little guy or a little gal climb yeah. up on a tractor or pat a cow. Just yeah. show up. Show up with a smile on your face, introduce yourself,
yes.
and respect where they are. Thank you so much for being here, to both Tony and to Pam. Also, Emily wanted me to remind you her website is, I'm going to screw it up, Emily for Wisconsin. In the meantime, Tony will look that up for me. Welcome back. Come on back next week. We have 97.9 Talk of Green Bay, 98.3 Oshkosh Air Support. We love having you here. We will talk to you next week when we have Dr. Reverend Susan Cartmell, who's going to talk religion and politics. Ho, 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 ho. That'll be a good one. So come on back next week. I think we're going to have Tony here with us again. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the rest of the Packer game. Have a great night.